There's a story that is often attributed to Rabbi Haim, an itinerant preacher. He traveled from town to town delivering religious sermons that stressed the importance of respect for one's fellow person. He often began his talks with this story. "I once ascended to the firmaments. I first went to see hell, and the sight was horrifying. Row after row of tables were laden with platters of sumptuous food, yet the people seated around the tables were pale and emaciated, moaning in hunger. As I came closer, I understood their predicament. Every person held a full spoon, but both arms were splinted with wooden slats so that they could not bend either elbow to bring the food to his mouth. It broke my heart to hear the tortured groans of these poor people as they held their food so near but could not consume it. Next, I went to visit heaven. I was surprised to see the same setting I had witnessed in hell, row after row of long tables laden with food. But in contrast to hell, the people here in heaven were sitting contently, talking with each other, obviously sated from their sumptuous meal. As I came closer, I was amazed to discover that here too, each person had his arms splinted on wooden slats that prevented him from bending his elbows. How then did they manage to eat? As I watched, a man picked up his spoon and dug it into the dish before him. Then he stretched across the table and fed the person across from him. The recipient of this kindness thanked him and returned the favor by leaning across the table to feed his benefactor. I suddenly understood heaven and hell offer the same circumstances and conditions. The critical difference is the way the people treat each other. I ran back to hell to share this solution with the poor souls trapped there. I whispered in the ear of one starving man, 'You don't have to go hungry. Use your spoon to feed your neighbor, and he will surely return the favor and feed you.' 'You expect me to feed the detestable man sitting across the table?' the man said angrily. 'I would rather starve than give him the pleasure of eating.'" Regardless of whether heaven and hell are actually like this, not manufactured places of reward and torture dependent upon how we live our lives, but rather the same circumstances and our experience the result of our own doing, I can think of many instances in which this story seems to resonate, beginning with another story, the story that we read from Genesis this morning. This story is often understood to be the second account of creation, the first being the one in which God created in 6 days and then rested on the seventh. But I imagine that this account is also familiar. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. But a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Before we go any farther, I just want to note that this story has been used to do considerable harm. It's often a text in which people point out that men were created first and women second, that women are meant to not only be complementary but are not equal to men. Yet the text doesn't infer that at all. While in the first account of creation, humans are created on the last day, in this story, God gets to that task first. It seems that being created first or last does not infer any preference to the order. Furthermore, our translation uses the word man for human being here, but the Hebrew suggests that there is more going on, that there's a bit of wordplay involved. In Hebrew, ground is adama, and what is translated here as man is Adam. So the Lord God formed Adam from the dust of the adama. The Lord God formed the earth creature from the dust of the earth. And then after the earth creature became a living being, God placed it in the Garden of Eden, where God noted it was not good for the earth creature to be alone. Which is where I begin to think about the long spoons in Rabbi Haim's story and the people who are in hell. While they're not technically alone, they seem awfully lonely. While they sit with other people, they only care about themselves and what their needs are. It's as if they're surrounded by many enemies, each other person a threat to their well-being. It's not good for the earth creature to be alone, God says. It's not good for us to be alone. It makes me wonder about all of the places in our lives in which we're surrounded by people and yet very much are alone. We've sorted ourselves out by what we believe, what we look like, who we vote for. Our politics and our ideologies have become not only the ways that we sort ourselves, but also divisive subjects in which we believe that we have all the right answers and anyone who disagrees with us must be wrong. It's as if compromise is at best a foreign concept and anathema at worst. Comments on Facebook posts and tweets in response to another tweet on Twitter become the breeding ground for vile and hurtful speech. Things that we would never ever say to another person if they were standing right in front of us. And since the reaction emojis were introduced on Facebook, so one could be angry, sad, amazed, or laugh at a post instead of only liking it, many serious news stories have garnered several laughing emojis, as if what could be a life or death situation for many is somehow absurd. While we have never before been more connected than we are now with the entire internet and various social media platforms at our fingertips, we're also the most isolated we have ever been. Unable to find connection across political party, racial, and ideological lines. It isn't good for the earth creature to be alone. So God sets out to make a helper as a partner. A partner who, as the Hebrew says, will stand in front of the earth creature, who will be face to face, who will be the earth creature's equal. Someone who can help, not like in a sidekick kind of way with limited ability, but one who is fully capable. A helper who is ascribed that title, which is most often ascribed to God in the Hebrew scriptures. From where will my help come? A helper who is also created in the image of God. It is better to be together, to see the value of the other person and to help each other. Which is what those with the long spoons in heaven who are feeding each other already know. We are better together. Not only in twos, as the text suggests, but also in larger communities. Because we are inextricably connected to each other and to God. Some of us understand this, something that we're seeing in the wake of Hurricane Dorian. People who are on vacation on cruise ships, who I imagine boarded that ship with the intention to relax, are instead giving their time and their energy to help prepare food for those in the Bahamas. Famous chef and restaurateur Jose Andres has been in the Bahamas for the last several days, doing what he does often following a storm that does significant damage in an area where there are few resources. He's set up a kitchen on a floating cruise ship, and he's preparing meals to feed those who may not otherwise have food. Many others are donating money to organizations like Lutheran Disaster Relief that will directly aid those whose lives have been dismantled by the winds of the storm, and still others are sending planes down full of supplies. We're better together. This morning, after the 9:30 service, we gathered to package food that will help feed our neighbors as part of God's work, Our Hands Service Day. We do this simply because there are hungry people in our community, people who are created in the image of God just as much as we are. Some of us also do it knowing in part that at some point we're likely to need someone else's help. We're inextricably connected, always needing someone besides just ourselves. Either to feed us because we can't reach the food, or to share the load of grief, tragedy, and pain. It is in those moments when we're feeling most vulnerable and hurt that human connection means the most. To know that we're not alone. To know that we are loved and cared for in spite of whatever brokenness we experience. It is in those moments that we experience a bit of God's love with flesh on, to know that we're loved by the one who will never stop loving us, the one who wants what is best for us, the one who sees that it isn't good for us to be alone and creates a partner, the one in whose image we are all created. We are all inextricably connected to the ground that we are formed from, to the rest of creation, to each other, and to God, the God who created us, always.